I think it's
already been approved.
It's been approved, but the software still has some fine-tuning, and it won't be ready for prime time until December 1st. But it has been approved. You're absolutely right. The question that I raised was adding to it something about the hours. So I want to put my two cents in here. I want to respond to something that Bob said. You're absolutely right that the problem's been around for a long time, but I think to dump this on the supervisors in the past has caused a lot of trouble. We've had elections held up and, as Ken said, rerun because of problems over who is staff, people claiming to be staff who aren't, getting producers to say they were when they weren't, and we have no record and no record keeping, and the general managers don't want to get involved. The department heads, a couple of stations have department heads. Department heads have not been used to certify that, yes, this producer is correct when he or she says that this staff member actually works those numbers of hours. So I think it really, I would like to ask Jane to maybe take point on a group to come up with some language on this. After you've read through some of the horror stories in the supervisor's reports, I think that will give you some idea of what you're up against, getting people to sign up. I don't think it's onerous at all to ask people to take 5 or 10 minutes out, go to a computer, and just enter what they thought they did or how many hours they worked. If there's a question and somebody complains about it, instead of leaving it at the last minute, just before we're getting ready to run the ballots, for somebody to say, I object to the staff selection, those people never did that work, or they left out, you know, my colleagues. It's not fair to the supervisor. I think those things should be handled by the general manager because the volunteers work under the general manager's supervision, presumably. So I would like to have that settled. Jane, are you still willing to
No. You totally misunderstood me. I don't want to have anything to do with this. I absolutely
know.
This is, well, to my knowledge, we don't have an issue here in W about this. We have other issues, but this is not one of them.
Okay.
So I would be of no use to you whatsoever, but I think Bob and Ken would be a prime candidates for this work group.
Bob and who?
Ken. They're the people who seem to have a good feel for the nuances of what's going on with this problem.
Can I get in a second? It's Michael.
Michael, yes, thank you.
Well, it seems to me if this registry is going to be operative December 1st, we might as well wait and see what the results of having a registry of the staff resolves. I mean, maybe it will be moot at that point. I want to go back to what I was saying earlier in response to a couple of things that Ken said. People aren't representing shows. It's not like one show, you know, should have more votes or less votes or something. You know, people qualify based on their work on a show, perhaps, but they're qualifying as members of the unpaid staff of the station, and it's irrelevant how many shows are involved. And we're not representing shows; we're representing the people who do work to make the station possible. So that might be production work. I have experienced a long time. When I lived in the Bay Area, I was a member of a collective that produced Fruit Punch on KPFA, and then I also worked on a Saturday news collective. Had we had elections, I mean, that was long before the days of an elected local station board. But I would have qualified by, you know, not for a show, but by doing the work in those various projects for the station. So I think the main thing is that, people are doing work that is meaningful and important to keep the station alive and to get the station out there into the community so that people are aware of the existence of the show, and maybe it's production work, and maybe they're doing a website, or maybe they're doing outreach activities that, you know, enable the station to attract more listeners. I don't think we're doing like proportional representation of shows on the schedule.
Just a point, Michael. The outreach activities would qualify people for a listener membership. And there's so many members that that vote has far less power. The problem with a staff membership is that relatively there's so few staff members relative to the number of people elected that every vote that is, every ballot that is given out that is not earned is really diluting.
Well, no, I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying that, it's not earned by the show. It's earned by the people doing the work, and that work
could be production work.
It could be other kinds of work that, you know, either make the show possible, make the station possible. If somebody's doing, 30 hours a quarter of outreach, then they're unpaid staff. There's not a certain kind of work that qualifies you as staff versus listener. It's how much time you're putting in. So it's not that production work makes you a staff member and outreach work makes you a listener. It's the amount of time that you're putting in. If you're putting in that amount of time, you're not representing the show or production. You're representing the person who's putting that much time into making the station viable.
Margie Murray for the SAC, please.
Margie, go ahead, please.
See, just what Michael just stated there, I find very unclear. I have a number of friends, my art students, et cetera, who've actually done quite an extensive amount of outreach for the station. So will they be able to vote as unpaid staff?
No.
Okay, so this
generally
idea that you can... So the idea that someone can go out and do an event someplace and then call themselves unpaid staff, I have a problem with. I think the producers should be made, unpaid, paid, whatever, to turn in a list and have so many votes per producer that's determined by a station manager. I think it's that simple. The KPFK goes through this at every election with people who all of a sudden claim they're on some staff thing, they're unpaid, and I've never seen them at the studio. Now, granted, with what Bob said, I also sent out a newsletter for another group, and I work on a website, and it is a tremendous amount of time. But 30 people for one show, come on, this is wrong. And it's, until people act responsible and equitable in terms of voting, we'll always go through this. If there aren't standards set to be met, then we'll always have conflict. And I would also support Ken Aaron being on this committee. So I can go off the stack now. Thank you.
Ken, you've just been nominated. Are you interested in taking point on this?
On the working
I'm certainly
group
willing
meeting,
to do it, handle it 100% if I do it by myself.
You want to do it by yourself? I suspect most people would appreciate that very much. Are there any objections to that?
Yes.
Bob, would you be able to, Bob, can you work with Ken on that?
I'll
work on it with Ken and, you know, and with anyone else. This shouldn't be any different than any other working group we have on this committee that are open to whoever wants, you know, whoever on the committee wants to be part of them.
And this is Anthony. I'd like to play a part as well, if this is going to become a working group.
Right, but I just wanted to address the question about someone who does outreach work. I think we should all go back and read the section of the bylaws because that's the ultimate authority. It's not what any of our opinions or what it should have been or what it ideally might be. It's what it says. And what it says after language, which I'll skip for now because it's not directly what we've been talking about, which is in the case that there's an unpaid staff organization. But putting that aside for a minute, any volunteer or unpaid staff member of a foundation radio station who has worked for said radio station at least 30 hours in the preceding 3 months, exclusive of fundraising marathon telephone room volunteer time. Doesn't say exclusive of telephone room time and outreach time. That's the only exception. If you volunteer for the station for 30 hours within the 3 months preceding the election, you have the right to vote as an unpaid staff member. So, you know, I don't know how many people are putting in 30 hours purely on outreach. I would imagine it's very few. But, you know, if they are doing that, and, you know, indeed, then yes, they have the right under the bylaws. So I just think we should... You know, we should not get too far afield from what the actual wording of the bylaws is rather than our own kind of of opinions about what would be the right way to set up a standard. It was, you know, it was set up 7 years ago. So that's it.
Can I get into Zach again?
Anthony, yes, go ahead, please.
No, it's Michael. What I was objecting to was the definition that somehow unpaid staff had to do with production work, because staff doesn't have to do exclusively with production work. If you have somebody who's volunteering in the subscription department, and they do 30 hours of volunteer work, they're unpaid staff. You don't have to be. I mean, that we hire people to do all kinds of work, some of which is production work, and some of which is not. And people volunteer to do all kinds of work, some of which is production work, and some of which is not. We're not representing shows. That's my main point.
Ken, to the stack?
Ken, go
sorry,
ahead.
My phone went out of charge. I figured out what it was. So anyhow, I could, there are issues here. I think Bob's exactly correct. That's what the bylaws say. And I think that the staff registry will, and if we make sure that it includes self-reporting of hours and validation by supervisors, whether it's the membership lists or the engineering department or a program producer, validating the report that's put in by this volunteer unpaid staff member, but the staff list will assist in that, so that then the general manager or the program director will have an option of saying, this, I accept that this person is a volunteer staff member or not, because there's been an obvious abuse, or it appears that way to many people, so. People who can consider that there's been an abuse also have a right to have their concerns addressed. And the staff registry will do that. And it may be that it may be difficult, as Bob brought up, because if this committee or the PNB or the ED comes up with a rule that says no program shall have more than 4 votes or something like that, it can be taken as in violation of the bylaws, and we can be set up for our traditional spring election suits, the election suits, they usually come in the spring, in January, after the election.
This is Jane. I'd like to get on staff.
We don't want to do anything that'll open the door for lawsuits about the election, but it is an issue that can be addressed within the context of the bylaws to make sure there's no abuse of what appears to some people to be a loophole in equitable elections.
Jane?
Oh, I'm sorry. There was one other thing. Now I remember what I wanted to bring up before. Bob and Michael's reference to people doing websites is of great interest, because in some cases the work for the website is not a promotion of the station. If I have a show about dental health for canines and other domestic animals, and then I have a website, and I have a volunteer working on that website, even if it has a link back to my program, it's questionable whether or not the work on that website is work for the station.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's
my private website.
That's a very
important point.
Yeah, you three.
It's like as if I was if I was doing daycare service for the person who was producing the show. Am I a staff member because I'm doing it as a volunteer? Because I'm the, I'm grandma and I'm taking care of the kid, but that helps get the show done. Is that, and that's 30 hours in the last 3 months. Do I get to vote? So I try to make extreme examples, not to be ridiculous, but to try to keep it a little bit more amusing. But the point is, it is significant now that we're more and more people have a web presence and Facebook and other forms of social networking, which take lots of time and are hopefully done by volunteers. But it's questionable whether or not it's an actual adjunct or benefit to the station or is working for the station when you're promoting the individual outside, and as opposed to promoting the station and just the program. So, that is a very interesting point to evaluate that, and that might be clarified, and that's not covered in the bylaws.
Ken, do you think you can take point and convene the committee yourself, Bob and Anthony?
Yeah, me, Bob, and Anthony is fine, but there was another committee I was supposed to convene that I was waiting to get a list of staff that now I have, and I don't know who was interested in it, as a committee, I think that Bob wanted a workforce that Bob wanted to be on too, about the proper address to fair campaign violations. Because we've had a problem, we're given up to the discretion of the LES. In one case,
yes.
Put us into a lawsuit, and in other cases, nothing's done, so it might be evaluated. But yeah, I'll volunteer to work on that. But maybe we could have two more people. I mean, it's just me, Bob, and Anthony.
I would join you. I am not. I don't have any other thing but being on the LSP.
Well,
I can.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. All right, another committee. Yet another committee formed.
Yet another committee. call them a task, a work group.
Well, yeah, there's
another work group. That's right. Yes.
And that was what I was clarifying. What I have written here is that. They would ask if a work group could be established to work on any refinements that may be required to ensure that the functionality of the planned staff registry works as needed for the upcoming election. Does that make sense?
And to clarify, the definition of staff probably covers it somewhere in there.
Okay, and... Ken Aaron, Bob Letterer, and Manajay Saba,
and
Anthony Fest agreed to work together on this, and other members are welcome.
Okay, thank you. And Ken will take point. Thank you. Now, the last item under old business, and we're really running out of time here, is the RFP. Jane wanted to discuss it here. I would respectfully suggest that we postpone that until we have a better idea of what we want to ask for, and wonder if we couldn't, because it's after 10, get to the motion about volunteers and work groups, which is under new business. Jane, would you mind postponing that until that's the next meeting? I know you
Maybe I don't really understand. The thing is that I'm working on that issue, and I have actually, based on the two meetings that we had, I've done some work. But maybe it does fit better into volunteer. I mean, I need to see some progress on that. I think it's important. I think we need to make progress on that because the timeliness, what we talked about in our work group is that that the ED needs to have the firms that we're contacting were presented with the option of either bidding to provide the balloting services or a range of services, including the balloting and other election work, including the work that's done by the NES. And because of the timing of it, the ED needs to have a sense of what it would cost to pay a professional firm to handle a broad range of services as opposed to going out and hiring individuals to serve in these roles. She needs to have those cost figures in front of her by late January, early February, in order to really know whether that's a viable option or whether she's just going to write it off the books and go with hiring it. So in other words, for the timing of it, we talked in our work group about wanting to have an RFP ready to go by December 1. Now,
right.
As a group, we're not even going to meet again until December 6th, is it, I think? So just in terms of any direction that, or maybe just additional people to work on the RFP, I would like to help keep that ball rolling in the next month with the idea of bringing forward something for the December meeting. But I don't feel like our work group is quite, it's kind of like jello right now. But.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot more information that we need to agree on before we set up an RFP that
yeah.
we can hand out. And maybe that's what the work group could do. Do you think, and I was not at that meeting, but I will be at the next one, do you want to work by email and call another work group meeting, teleconference, perhaps next week? Would that be good? And then we can report back to the committee before we meet in December and get some feedback on email. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me. Should we just go ahead and post it to the whole group in case other people want to be involved
exactly,
with that person?
Yes. That sounds okay. Good. Why don't you pick a few dates when the P&B is not, you know, in full bloom, and see what we can get together. Thank you. That would be good.
Sounds good.
All right. That's fine. Thank you. Now, under new business, the motion that is proposed here, Bill and Manager worked up a motion. I'll read it for people who don't have it in front of them. A motion to invite non-voting experts to a working group of the Elections Committee. Any Elections Committee member can invite one non-member expert to a relevant working group. Such a non-member will be allowed to participate provisionally as a non-voting contributor. Continuation of participation of the expert in the working group is subject to her or his confirmation as a non-voting member at the following Elections Committee meeting. And that is the three sentences. That's the substance of the motion. Open for stack on this? Do you want to...
Ken, to the stack.
Well, do Manage or Bob want to motivate it at all?
No, the only... I just wanted to say, you said Bill, but it was Bob and I that worked on this.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought I said Bob. Bob and Manage, correct. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ken on the stack?
So this was a motion to allow experts to belong to the committee or to work groups within the committee?
Work groups. I don't think we can add to the committee legally because the numbers are set in the bylaw.
So, but to be part of a work group, a non-voting member of a work group.
That's what it says. Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Such a non-member will be allowed to participate provisionally as a non-voting contributor.
To the non-voting contributor to the work group.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not understanding what approval requires. Let's say I want to bring
continuation of participation of the expert in the working group is subject to his or her confirmation as a non-voting member at the following Elections Committee meeting. I assume that would be by vote or consensus.
Explain the way we understood this. It was two meetings ago this discussion came up about people inviting expert or people who have expertise into the working groups. But it was not clear what type of function they would have and how many and who can invite them. So we were suggested that we do a motion on this. And the way we understand it is that any person election committee, meaning that they're elected as a member of the election committee, can invite somebody who has expertise on the issue that they are dealing with to the committee, and then that person at that committee that they are, you know, invited to, they can participate in that committee, and they would not have vote. They would have voice, but not vote. And then that person would be, you know, voted on and agreed on continuing that after that person is presented to the committee. The election committee to continue their contribution as a non-voting member in that working group. That's how it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that clear enough, Ken?
Yeah, it's clear enough. My only concern would be, I know this might sound paranoid or something, but it shouldn't be a person who has a vested interest like a vendor from some voting company. That would be a conflict of interest.
I personally don't know. Bob maybe would want to talk about this. I have no problem with that. I think actually should be a person who doesn't have conflict of interest. Yes, I agree. But Bob, would you mind talking about that?
Sure. Certainly, of course. If anyone has a financial interest in the outcome of anything in Pacifica, they shouldn't be participating.
Yeah, I don't think we even have to add that to the motion because that would just be it wouldn't be approved.
Right.
But the motion is to get the members, this non-members participation approved by the whole election committee or by the working group?
By the whole election committee. And actually, I would think that maybe we would have the non-person, the one person who comes with no conflict of interest. Just we add a conflict of interest someplace to the motion as somebody who makes this motion, amending motion.
Great, thank you. I understand.
Point of information from Michael Newman.
Michael, yes, go ahead.
Yeah. I guess my question is about the telephonic calls. I believe in the past we have had work group members participating in the general call. Is that what we're talking about here with this? When you say voice, not vote, that would be in the general discussion of the whole committee?
This is Manisha. I think whenever we have in this committee or other committee, we have to define who has even voice. Some people can
right.
be observant. But in this committee, they would have, when they go to working group, they have voice and not vote. But I don't know if there is a necessity for them to come and participate in the committee with voice. They can, of course, be invited to participate at the committee without voice as the public. But I don't know. That's what it comes to me, that there shouldn't be.
Yeah, that was my question. Are we talking about participating in the committee as a whole? I think is Bill on tonight, or?
No, he is not.
He was
question.
Previously on. I thought that was the issue. Anyway.
If I answered it correctly, our focus has been on the working group. We didn't talk, Bob and I haven't discussed the election committee itself, if this person can come. Be invited to come and talk, but I think it's up to the election committee and some time to decide if they want to invite some of these people with expertise to come and address the committee. But we did not focus. Is that, Bob, correct?
Okay. Yes, I agree.
Carolyn on the stack, anybody else to speak? I would think that would be important to have someone who had been involved in the decision to participate in the discussion in the committee on that issue alone, but perhaps not for the rest mm-hmm. of the committee. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, any other comments on this? My only other quibble is with one member. I've already asked two or three people. Jamie Ross offered because I'd put out a call for people, and so the sense of this is that everybody on a work group needs to be sponsored by someone on the elections committee, and once you have sponsored one person, you can't sponsor anyone else, which seems to me a little bit restrictive, mostly because I've tried to get several people to volunteer in various tasks. Anyone else have any thoughts on that?
But it's Ken to the stack. If it's open for people to get non-members to volunteer, there's nothing to stop the committee from saying, we got three, that's enough, let's stop. Because if we have like 42 people, it's going to be burdensome. Well, we wouldn't. We'd have an extra 12 people. It might or might not be good. So I think it's subject to the committee making a decision about it. Everything's got to be approved by the committee. The committee can make a motion and say, get rid of these people.
Mm-hmm.
We're not that bound up. It's just a committee.
Mm-hmm.
So we can add or detract or change our minds and do whatever we want. This is just a motion to allow people to invite non-members who are experts, subject to the approval of the committee, that they participate in work groups.
This is Jane.
Jane, go ahead.
Okay, so like for example, if somebody appointed, Bill Crozier to one of our working groups, and whoever suggested that person had already suggested somebody else, and then it came to, the committee having to approve Bill's participation. Like for example, I didn't suggest him, but I would say, look, I haven't suggested anybody, but I think Bill's really helpful to this working group. Can I sponsor his participation in it? So that would be one way that, it seems a little awkward, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, does anyone care to
Manager?
The provision of one person? Manager, go ahead. Manjay, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, was the bill that he suggested that, you know, you can, the committee can vote on if there are too many people? My concern is about keeping it at one. And what I'm sorry, I forget your name. You just talked.
Jane.
That we can, if we have somebody, for example, if I have suggested, you know, invited somebody to come to the committee, then if I have somebody else, I can ask somebody else on the committee to say, you know, this is this person and this is their qualification. Would you want to sponsor it? It's better than having a committee of 10 people and each person invite 2 people.
Mm-hmm.
But how many experts do we need on the issue?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is that I think we need, I would like it to stay with one. And then if we think that this is too cumbersome or any problem, we can deal with it. But at this point, I think one is enough. Because what are we dealing with that we need so many experts on it? It's more practical and doable. When we have few, you know, several people and they are dealing with the work.
Mm-hmm. All right, any other thoughts on this before we go to a vote? Are we ready to vote?
Okay.
All right, a yes vote then would approve the motion as it stands, and a no vote would be no.
Oh, let me ask, do we add any, nobody made an amendment? Okay, that's fine.
No, did you want one? Did you want to make an amendment?
No, we wanted the conflict of interest.
No, we said it. Both without saying.
It's not going to be. It should not be.
Okay, you don't want. Okay, that's fine.
Okay,
so we can vote on it. Okay.
Right. It goes without saying, right?
I think. Well, we can vote on it when it comes up. We can vote one by one. Is there any objections to the motion as it stands? All right. Then, hearing no objections, the motion is approved as written. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
While this is on the floor, I just wanted to. I'm sorry again, I was late. But in the agenda, Ken Aaron is listed as a work group volunteer and not a member of the committee. So
yeah, we amended that before you came
right.
on.
Okay.
Ken is actually the director from KPFK.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I had put him in the wrong column. I'm
okay.
sorry. Thank you. All right. Next item is election costs. I put that in because I have a spreadsheet from the CFO on elections costs for several years, actually, but I believe they have salaries in them, and I don't know if we can legally distribute that, so I'm waiting for an answer from the CFO as to whether she can aggregate those sums so we don't have individual costs in that, or if that's even an issue. But I will try and get that out to you this week as soon as possible. Any other questions about elections costs? I also do not have a figure for legal costs regarding the elections. I don't know if we need that except as a cautionary note, but the other figures we might need. And as soon as I get that, I'll get that out to you. All right, if there are no other questions to be raised about the elections costs, is everyone aware of what's in your station budget for elections and that it's probably not enough?
I think they, based on the previous one here, we added it for the next year's budget based on the last time there was an election, I believe.
Uh-huh, okay. All right. Now, number three, I put in working with other groups and individuals, and what I meant was cooperation with the Financial Reform Committee that Ken is chairing, and I don't know any other committee that might be interested in the elections, but it's not impossible. Anybody have any thoughts about establishing relationships, or should those joint committees be part of our work groups, or should they be like a separate work group out of the other committee? I don't know quite how to label some of these cooperative efforts, whether they're just straight work groups or should we report to each other and send each other summaries? Jane?
Mm-hmm. I think we're okay the way we are for right now. I think that if we start talking about the
problem with, like, having two elections, year, you know, 2 years in a row, we should be in dialogue with the governance workshop group. I think for now we seem to have a pretty good, discrete amount of work, and we should just keep focusing on it. I don't think we should try to take on any more work than on the plate right now. I think that this is all very well focused to the upcoming elections, and there's no need to get spread out too much farther.
Well, I don't want to duplicate our work either. We do have this other committee is working on membership issues, trying to improve membership and so on, and maybe that's in our bailiwick and maybe it's not.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's Michael Lovick. I wanted to speak to that. I feel like the general question of increasing voter participation in the elections is related to the general question of increasing membership and listenership to the station. So I would say that is an area of joint work that we should think about.
I didn't even know about that other group.
I wasn't aware there was another group, but I think it's a logical connection.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Ken, do you want to speak to that for a minute since it's your committee? Did we lose Ken again?
No, not especially, no.
No, okay. All right.
So you're saying
the membership and... No, it should come. I think it should come from the election committee.
All right, that's good. And Michael and I are more or less supposed to be working on that, so we'll just reach out as we need to. Thank you.
Apologies for being late. I wanted to go back to something on the agenda. It said financial recovery group volunteers. This is in the.
Isn't that the same topic?
I'm just not clear.
I wasn't either. Carolyn, was that...
Where is that, please?
Was it when you talked about, like, Jamie Ross being involved, wasn't the financial recovery group the same thing as what you were just now talking about?
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I'm just not clear what... You're talking about recovering some of the costs of the election in the process of conducting the election or something?
Just looking at problems around the network.
I see. The election. You're just talking about recovering the general financial stability.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Ken Dittestack. I got a question about this. Do we know, in terms of percentage of people voting, which station did the best and soliciting participation from the membership?
No, I don't. I don't have that figure. We can certainly look it up if we.
If there was, as an example, if there's a station that got 50% quota, quorum, and, you know, others that only just barely scraped by on 10, we should take a look at what they were doing that was successful.
Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you.
So, for clarification, Ken, is that financial recovery group actually has the topic of increasing membership as part of the recovery plan, and your suggestion was that the initiative coming out of the election working group would more or less drive what that other committee is looking at, that we don't need a whole lot of extra connect?
I think that Carolyn's idea was that because we're doing an election, we should be able to coordinate that with other actions to promote increased membership and listenership, and coordinate it with the election, so we get a better return on the election. I don't know, to see where we could coordinate the two.
Right.
But we don't have anybody on the FRAT committee looking specifically how to integrate the election into increasing membership.
My thought was that everybody's working on it, but separately. I know one station is working with a development director to increase membership. I just heard that we may be working, WBAI may be working to redesign our website with a move to increasing membership. General managers are sending out lists, newsletters in some cases, but they're not mentioning the elections. And they're not using them to encourage people to sign up or get involved or get interested.
Well, to be as honest as I can, I mean, there's an assumption. You may feel that people should be interested in voting in a Pacifica election, that you just can't wait for that opportunity. They're, like, going to cancel, turn in their tickets to the Super Bowl so they can be there for the election. But it may not be an item that increases membership. It seems, in a sense, voting is an obligation, or viewed as an obligation, not as an opportunity. So I don't know that it promoting the election increases membership.
I think it depends on how it's done. I think.
I know. Of course. Vote in this election and win a date with Angelina Jolie, you know. Things that could be done. But most of them are discriminatory to the election. I know that BAI was looking at promotional actions in the 2009 election, I think it was. But it was considered that it would be prejudicial because the premiums being offered were favorable to a certain class of voters. I think you've got to be
really
careful.
I remember that. I forgot about that fiasco.
You got to be very careful in running an honest and fair campaign that doesn't isn't
mm-hmm.
prejudicial towards a class of voters. I think we could be prejudicial and say, like, we want people to vote who like to vote or something. Maybe. I don't know. But I'm just saying it's hard to sex it up. I know that the federal government has spent lots of money on campaigns to rock the vote and stuff like that to get people to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I just don't know that the enticement of being able to vote in a specific election for the LSB is a strong attraction to get members. Become a member and you have an opportunity to vote, you know. Maybe it could be done, but I don't know.
I don't get on the sec.
I don't see it. Somebody
I
else can originate
Jane,
on
I
it.
Anthony, Jane. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Michael Ovick.
And Michael, Was that Anthony or was it Michael in the first place?
Michael.
Just your voices, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
Sorry. I think that ideally, people have talked a lot about branding or rebranding Pacifica, but certainly I think one way to distinguish Pacifica from just public radio is that we are the democratically, organized, unique medium, as opposed to just, send us your money. It's like it's a participatory kind of media. So I do think that that could be an appeal to broaden and deepen membership. Maybe one idea would be to have that financial recovery work group set up a committee or whatever it is, set up a working group and invite some participation from this election committee in areas of joint interest. I do think that one question we haven't touched on much is the idea of also fundraising via the election to cover the cost of the election.
Good point. Jane?
I think that the listener, I think that the members would respond to, if it was possible for the board to articulate messages, about what the boards are doing. In other words, if somehow the local station boards and the PNB collectively could communicate to our members the work that we're doing, I think it would inspire a little more participation, at least in the elections from a broad cross-section. And I think that it would help retain members who join, but maybe, I think it would be beneficial. I think it should be I think it should be done sooner rather than later.
Manager?
Good point, Manager. Go ahead, please.
But that we are talking about encouraging the membership to vote, I have been getting this call from one of the organizations that are a member that they called, basically we can use it, the calls that invite you to or ask you to participate in some activities. We could have a couple of those calls before election to remind people, and maybe the members of the committee can participate in doing, the tapes of these phone calls, and the phone calls goes to everybody that is member. I don't know if they are costly or not, and encourage them that this is the deadline, and vote, get your ballot and vote for whoever you are going to vote for, things like that. Get out to vote, basically.
Uh-huh. soon. Yes, they're expensive, but they are effective. Okay, anything else on that item before we go wrap up our action items? Jane, you're taking notes. Do you want me to send you my notes after the call is over, because it's 10:30?
I just have one question. Your item 1D was protocols for monitoring GM progress regarding lists. You didn't say anything about it. Was there anything you wanted to tell us about that or ask us about that? Your item 1D, I didn't hear you say anything about it. Protocols.
Oh, you know, I thought I addressed it.
Regarding lists.
Yeah, I addressed that indirectly. I think we did talk about that. Someone said that our motion contained enough details. This was a checklist for the ED.
Oh, thank you. I said that.
Oh,
I got it.
Remember
okay.
that?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, yes, I said that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And then I'll just send these to you, and you can correct it.
Okay, I've been taking notes all along, too. That's wonderful. Anything else before we close, people? All right, just quickly going over those action items. Number two, we can omit. That's done. Number three, now Bill was going to draft a motion for the protocol on the monthly validation, re the volunteer list, which I guess is what we just discussed. Right, Jane? The same
yes.
thing?
Yes, that's the work group on the...
Yeah, we can omit that one. Bill and Michael were going to consolidate the two e-lists into one list. Is that still a possibility?
I've still not done anything further. I will look
okay,
over
we'll leave
the...
Okay, we'll leave it on the list.
Well, I think we can migrate the information from one to the other.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. Work groups, we have notes on those. Jane and I will, compare our notes. The e-balloting issue, that work group, I think that I was supposed to have convened that one again, which I will do in a week or two. Margie was going to make a timetable, and then I think Michael offered. I haven't heard from Margie on that. I have been not very successful. I've tried to get some timetable on not the elections process, but on fund drives.
Yeah.
Either nobody knows or they're not talking.
I emailed all the GMs, or in one case, I think the development director, and the only person who responded was Bernard Duncan at my own station, and I just forwarded that timetable. Nobody else sent me anything back about their fundraising timetables.
I was going to take that list that you sent to our staff here in W and ask them, looking at this, do you have anything definitive you can say about our schedule? Because that was so...
I actually have a related point. I think it would be useful if the stations coordinated their fund drives. I know here at KPFK, we're airing material from KPFA. I mean, we broadcast the evening news, and we broadcast Letters in Politics, and both of those are engaged in fundraising for 2 weeks before we start our fund drive. So by the time, which our listeners are hearing, and as far as they're concerned, if they're only listening to two or three shows, we're already in fund drive, and so it's like we're in fund drive for a month and a half or something. So I think if we could get the stations to actually put all the fund drives on the same timetable, that would be a huge step forward.
I have to confess something. I mentioned your idea because I thought it was a good one to Arlene, and she, I think, over the phone, I think I heard her cringe. Getting Must Carries or any of the stations to cooperate all across the network is evidently much more difficult than we would think. And I don't think she was willing to tackle that one. As good an idea as it is, that maybe we'll have to press from here. But it's hard to get people to do that. I don't know if the fund drives are set up on any logical schedule. I know they're set up not to conflict with major fundraising events. But that's all I know about how they're done. So we can keep trying.
Are we ready to adjourn?
If someone would make a motion, I think...
I had one other quick point. I don't, and of course I was late for the meeting, but I don't think we ever, after having had the election for chair, we never did anything about secretary election. And
you had said you would be willing, and I thought that we accepted
okay.
the kind offer.
Right. Is that all right? Okay, we'll stick with that. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
So
very much.
I apologize again, and thank you, Jane, for.
Yeah, I'll send a simple to you, Carolyn, and then you can
All right.
Correct.
We'll get them together. Thank you. All right. And did someone make a motion to adjourn, I hope?
Sure, I will.
Okay, I will second. Does it need a second? I guess not. We're adjourned then, people. Thank you for a good meeting.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. I'll send this to you in a minute. Bye.